There's a great need of revival, a revival of evaluation of spirit and of the flesh. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 36, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. That simply means they were convicted. "And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now again, this verse of Scripture is not teaching baptism for remitting sins. It's baptism because their sins were remitted. "For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And so the great revival that started here, it started with an evaluation of their own condition and their own situation, both spiritually and physically. And it brought them to Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33. Matthew, the 6th chapter, and verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Then in Titus 2 and verse 11. Titus 2 and verse 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Then in Colossians 3. And beginning with verse number 1. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Now remember, we're considering a revival that is needed greatly among people today. The revival that we see in the book of Acts there in the church, there's 3,000 souls added in a day. And believe me, they were dealing with people in worse condition than we are today, and worse circumstances in their lives, and could lose more than we could today. And they could have said, "Well, those people are just no good. They're hard in their heart. They're not going to accept the God." But they didn't do that, brother. They examined themselves and come to the conclusion that putting the Lord first in their life was a thing that they needed to do. And when they put it into practice, fear came upon all around them, and many were saved and added to the church. And so this evaluation, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Where's your heart? Where's my heart? Where is our hearts? Are they really on the things above? Or aren't they on the things here? And those things above come when it's convenient. We need a revival, brethren. We need to get back to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now that convicts all of us when we're confronted with that verse of scripture, because we all fall short. But that's not, we shouldn't use that as an excuse. We should use that to do something about it, to change it. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. In other words, he's saying, the only thing we got to live for is Jesus Christ. Because that's where our life is anchored. That's where our source of life is. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Now, he didn't say, pray, Lord, take away these things from me. He said, put them away. Mortify them. Exercise your will. I'm not willing to be controlled by this old flesh of mine. I'm not willing to be controlled by the bottle. I'm not willing to be controlled by drugs. I'm not willing to be controlled by other people who would deny me the right to preach Christ and him crucified any place, any time that I might choose to do it. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. How well are you doing, brethren? How well am I doing? We need to all ask ourselves, how well are we doing? Does God expect it? He didn't put this in here just to fill up the page. He put it in here that we might be confronted with it and see the need of striving to meet these conditions and circumstances. But now, you also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And boy, how easy is it to lie? And most of the time when we lie, we're covering up for sin in our life. We're from doing something we shouldn't have been doing in the first place. Now put on this new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Brother, you have a knowledge and an understanding of life and the realities of life, and you've got the ability by the Spirit to realize that continuing in sin and fulfilling the lusts of the flesh is the destruction of your life. It's shortening our life, and we need to awake. And we need to examine, and we need to set forth a determination that we're going to abide by these things, whatever the cost might be. You know, we don't preach the gospel in certain places because of the cost. Listen, Jesus paid a greater cost than any of us for us to have that privilege of preaching the gospel to people. And brother, if it costs us a little bit, so let it be, because we're never going to pay as much as he did. Where there is neither, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. How we doing? How are we doing? Those that have done harm to us or wronged us, what do you think the condition we were in? He said we're to forgive them as Christ forgave us. And believe me, it was no doubt harder for him in his righteousness to consider us than it would be for us to consider another sinner. And we're ready to judge, and we're ready to condemn, and we're ready to find fault. But brother, what we ought to do is find mercy and grace and realize they're just a sinner like you and I. Yeah. And we're to forgive them as Jesus forgave us. They may not deserve it. It may be their fault. They're in the condition they're in. But brother, he didn't take that into consideration. He said, you need to get it right. You need to forgive. You need to get on by it. Then Mark, the 8th chapter. Mark chapter 8. Beginning with verse number 34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. How well are we doing, brethren? How well are we doing? Have you been denying yourself? Have you been sacrificing? Have you been putting aside the fulfilling of the lust of the flesh, your desires, your interests, your cares, and putting the Lord first? When he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, brethren, without self-denial, you're not going to render an acceptable service to the Lord. I'm not going to render an acceptable service to the Lord except I deny myself. He's clear. But whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You put all your care and concern and interest and all of your effort and energy and all your desires in this life, and forget Matthew 6:33, seeking the Lord first, then you're going to lose this life. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, now why do we do these? For Jesus' sake. Why do we deny ourselves? For Jesus' sake. After all, he denied himself. He was rich. He was on the right hand of the throne of God. He had all power. He has all power. But he gave it up to become a man. He gave it up to suffer for you and me. He denied himself. And continually he was setting the example, not my will, Father, but thine be done. That should be our desire. That should be our theme in life. The same shall save his life if he loses his life for my sake and the gospel's. The same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Am I seeking God first? Or am I pleasing the flesh and fulfilling the lusts of the flesh? That's the question. Am I? Are you? Be honest. We have to be honest. After all, we may keep it from other people, but we're not keeping it from God. He knows. And he's ultimately the one that's going to determine whether you've saved your life in service or whether you've lost your life. And he's not going to judge over circumstances or happenstances or anything. He knows. He's got a record of it. Malachi 3 or Malachi 4 tells us that. We need a revival of principles instead of peeves and the way that seems right to man. We need a revival for certain. Look at John 4, 9 and 10. John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou being a Jew ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Jesus, out of his way, took time to reach out to this lost woman of Samaria. Took time, denied himself, took time. He wasn't there to get a drink of water. He was there to meet with her. Amen. And give her living water. Notice the emphasis in all of it is on him giving to her, not her giving to him. Am I really convinced and convicted about what Jesus Christ has done for us? Notice, convicted and convinced. Now I know, but does sometimes it creep in, maybe it wasn't exactly that way? Can't afford it. That's yielding to the flesh. Brother, this is the word of God, it's the truth. And if you have repented and by faith trusted Christ as your Savior, when you found that peace in your heart that passes understanding, bless your heart. Listen, this word is what brought you to that place to where you could do that and he could save your soul and give you that peace. And so if we can believe that, then we ought to believe the rest of it as well. Look at John chapter 9. John chapter 9 verses 24 and 25. Then again, call they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Am I convinced that Jesus loves all mankind? Am I convinced? Is it enough to take the gospel to all mankind? We need a revival of the desire for the souls of lost people. Mark 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 45. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. How serious is this matter? Here it is. If your foot's a hindrance to you, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell unto the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Do I understand the condition of a lost man? Do I understand the condition he's going to be in the eternal fires and flames of hell? Do I understand that it's going to be everlasting? Do I understand he's not going to have any relief? Do I understand? More importantly, though, do I care? Do you care? We say we believe it. We believed with our heart. We've trusted Jesus. He saved our soul. Glory to God. But then we really don't believe that men are going to die and go to hell and spend eternity there. If we did, we would certainly be doing what's necessary for us to be revived so that we could go out and proclaim the gospel, and we'd not let anyone or anything or any place or any time keep us from doing so. Now, I'll confess, I get in the flesh sometimes. And when I'm someplace and somebody tries to tell me I can't preach the gospel to them, they'd better just wait a minute because they're going to get it. Now, maybe that's the wrong approach and wrong attitude. But listen, you're not going to tell me I can't do something that God's told me I can do, and it's my duty to do. And denying yourself, it don't matter what it costs you. It don't matter if people make fun of you. It don't matter if people reject you. No matter if people are resentful and don't like you for it. It don't matter. It doesn't matter if it costs you business. It doesn't matter if it costs you a job. The Lord gave you the one you got now. He'll give you another one and a better one. Matthew 28. 19 and 20. Great Commission. Everybody ought to know it by heart. More important than that, we ought to all practice it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He was speaking to his New Testament church. And I'm speaking tonight to a New Testament church. And this commission was given to the his New Testament churches. We are commissioned to preach to the lost world. We need to accept it and we need to do it. Amen. Brethren, empty pews. Our record attendance and services was in the old building over there. We've never. Why? Because we don't preach the gospel. We don't invite people to church. I know it hurts your feelings when you're rejected. I just got mine hurt the other day. This guy I was visiting with, we were having a good visit and stuff, and I put my car, one of the church's cards out and handed it to him. I said, come go to church with us sometime. And he snarled his nose up at it. But he took the card. Listen, we don't like rejection. But listen, we've never been rejected like Jesus was. Amen. Acts 9. Verse 6. And he trembling, this of course is Paul or Saul, and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Do I ask the Lord, what can I do for him today? As I did back when I first saved and first got my heart right with the Lord. You know the answer to that. All of you have experienced it. Does it seem like you're getting chewed out tonight? Hey, I'm chewing on me too, brother, because I'm as guilty as you are. That doesn't stop the fact that we need to get this drilled into us, and we need to see the need of making the sacrifice for the sake of lost sinners, for the sake of family members. I don't care if they're a Methodist. I don't care if they're a Catholic. I don't care if they're a Muslim. I don't care what they are. We need to preach the gospel to our family and loved ones. And I don't care if they get mad. I don't care if they reject me. I don't care if they don't come and see me. I got some that don't anyway. But I got a phone and I call them from time to time. We need to evaluate the condition they're in and truly believe it and understand it. I don't know that we do. Psalms 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Now, brethren, we got a guarantee there. If you go brokenhearted and compassionate toward lost sinners and preach the gospel to them, he has guaranteed us that they'll come. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The greatest enjoyment and rejoicing that I've ever experienced is when one would come and repent of their sins and by faith trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Since true revival is a rejoicing of the heart, we need to get back to what God has ultimately called us to do for him. They called you, preacher. It's your job. He didn't give the commission to the preacher. Gave it to the church. He said, church, you go and preach the gospel. Church, you baptize. Church, you. I was a member of the church. That's my commission as well. God's called every member of this church to go preach the gospel. He did it in the Great Commission and other places in the scripture. Matthew 16. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I need a purpose daily to put myself aside and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I determined that years ago. That's a daily thing, brethren. You got to do it daily. Otherwise, how many days, how many weeks, and how many months will you not accomplish anything for the Lord? It's daily. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse number 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. We must not forget to let love be our daily motivation to serve the Lord. Only Jesus can change hearts and lives. Only he should rule our life. Not we ourselves, because that's not denying self, but him. He should rule our life. How? By us abiding in the Word of God. By us walking with, how do we walk with him? According to this. It's right there. All you got to do is look and find it. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord's your Savior. That fire that's not quenched and that worm that dieth not, is that individual in hell. He's going to be there forevermore. If you don't repent of your sins and by faith trust Christ as your Savior, you're going to be there forevermore. You're going to be suffering. Like that rich man. You're going to be desiring a drop of water, but there's not going to be any water. It's like it wasn't for the rich man in Luke 16. You need to turn to Jesus. And in order to do it, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to put aside all of your selfish reasons and feelings, and you're going to have to come to Jesus. You're going to have to empty yourself. You're going to have to reach up to him from the heart, ask him to forgive you and save your soul, that you not have to suffer in this manner. Now, you're not going to be condemned. John 3:18 says, he that believeth is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, not going to be, but is right now. If you drew your last breath right now in hell, you would lift up your eyes. Jesus is the only way for you to escape that. And only then, when you're willing to turn from self and sin and turn to him and by faith trust him as your Savior. If you're here and you're saved, then you need to follow him. Take scriptural baptism, New Testament church membership to follow Jesus. And then it takes faithful service, denying self daily, taking up our cross, and following him.